Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
So it is such a joy for Julie and I to visit you. It's so life-giving, like being here. So grateful for Andy and Harmony and their leadership. Have they not done just a fabulous job, Pastor? Just a wonderful pastor. And so faithful over many years, loving and serving the city. And Julie and I, as we come, we just get fed into just the life of the community here and the Vineyard churches. And so just very grateful for you. Well, today I'm going to speak out of a beautiful passage from Isaiah chapter 30. Will not be up on the screen, so if you have a Bible, you can open up to Isaiah chapter 30. And I want to begin with a story. I love adventures. I'm that kind of person that just loves adventures. And one of the things I do is I ride motorcycles. And right now I have a motorcycle that's like just a city bike. Love to get out and just ride. But the thing I really love to do is what's called adventure motorcycling. It's basically you get on a big dirt bike and you just throw all your gear on it and you ride for weeks. And I've done that, and it's a blast. And a friend of mine talked me into getting a little dirt bike, which is I learned far more dangerous. And he talked me into going out really far out west to a place called Idaho, which is where the mountains are. And so you have beautiful country here, like Cave Hill is just right over here, beautiful spot. And Idaho is like that times 50. It's just really big, hills and mountains. And what we would do is we would like throw our gear on the bike and, water and food and all the things that you need for the day. Because once you go out, you will not see another human being. There's not another soul that you will encounter. And so we had my maps on my phone. And within the first hour of riding with my friend who talked me into this nonsense, I realized how far over my head I was. I wiped out within the hour, and I didn't realize it, but my phone was gone. I lost my phone, and I kept riding. And so now I'm without maps. And the guys were so good at riding that they just loved to disappear ahead of me, which is not cool. And we were riding on these, what they call goat paths, which is where goats walk. It's not meant for like motorcycles. It's like animal tracks, and it's like this wide. And this way you've got this, hill that goes up. And this way you've got a hill that goes down. And I'm not used to riding on that. And the longer I rode, the more nervous I became. And the more nervous I became, the worse my riding was. And before you know it, yes, I dumped my bike, and I was, the bike was upside down, and I was upside down for a minute, and I pulled myself up, and I tried to pick the bike up, but I couldn't. And I know that you think, like, I've got, I know I look strong, but I wasn't able to pick the bike up, because it was, like, completely upside down, and I looked down, And there was gas just dumping out of the gas tank. And I'm like, oh, I don't think that's supposed to happen. And so I'm like, what do I do? Because my friends abandoned me. And so I look down and I keep trying to pick this, and I can't pick it up. And I keep sliding down, and I look down, and about 100 feet down, there's a river. And so I decided, like, to do what anyone would do, which is to just scream. Like, I just started screaming, and I screamed all kinds of words. Many of them are not repeatable, and then I that didn't help. And so I dragged the motorcycle down into the river where I could pick it up, and I picked it up, and I'm standing in waist-deep water. And I was so angry. And I'm like, where are my friends? They are nowhere to be found. And finally, after like a few minutes, I hear this puttering of motorcycles in the distance, you know, and the guys come and they see me down in standing in the river. They're like, hey, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I am not okay. Where did you guys go, right? So this story reminds me of, you know, the boxer Mike Tyson. He had a brilliant quote. He said, everyone has a plan until you get punched in the face. And that's definitely true of my motorcycle story, but I think it's true of a lot of life, right? Like, we go through life and we have a plan, we make a plan, and then we get punched in the face, and then what do? We make a new plan, right? And we work the plan, and then we get punched in the face. And we keep doing that until we do what Mike Tyson did, which is to bite the other guy's ear, which is a pretty good move. That doesn't work either, it turns out. And the story that we're going to see today in Isaiah 30 is a story that interrupts that whole cycle that we find ourselves in life. And it gives us a new way, when disruption comes, when our lives are shaking, when, as we sang, we're going through the storm, there's a whole new way of doing life. And that's what Isaiah invites us to today. So could we pray, and let's just welcome the Lord's presence. Lord, would you come and... Lord, we know you're here already, you're everywhere, but I pray that you would again just make us aware of your presence. Tune our attention to you. Give us grace to hear your voice. And I pray, Lord, that your word would come alive for us today. We welcome you, Jesus. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So Isaiah 30, if you have a Bible, we're going to look at the first couple of verses here. Woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord. To those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin, who go down to Egypt without consulting me, who look for help to Pharaoh's protection, to Egypt's shade for refuge. So Israel is, on the national scale, facing what I was on my motorcycle. There's a plan that they have, and their plans are disrupted. And their plans are disrupted by a growing, menacing nation that is close to them, and it's called Assyria. So the Assyrian Empire is growing in these days, and they're afraid because they see the military might, and they see them threatening their livelihood and their future, and so they do what I did on my motorcycle, which is we gut it out, we try harder, we make plans, we do the things that we do. And those are the common ways that we respond to disruptions in our lives, right? We double down, we try harder, we reach for the quickest fix. And the Lord is not happy with them. He's not liking their plans. He doesn't appreciate their playbook. Now, it's not that God is against planning. I want you to hear that really clearly. Like, faith and planning are not contradictions. Sometimes we think that's the case, but But that's not the case. What God is condemning here is their plans that are not God's plan. So look at that again. He says, you know, in verse 1, "Woe to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin." So how would you know if your plans are not God's plan? Like, how might you know that? Well, one of the signs is here in this text, and it's what the Israelites were doing. One of the signs is that we look backwards. We go back to old ways. So here the Israelites, they're going back to Egypt for help. So Egypt has become weaker. Of course, back in the day, they were the great power. And of course, you know what Egypt had done to Israel. They had enslaved them. And here, I think what we have is Israel going back to an old alliance. They're trying to make an alliance with those who had enslaved them. And the Lord isn't happy with that. In a way, it's you know, going back to an old mindset, going back to an old way of doing things. You remember when the Israelites got out into the desert, they were like, "It was so much better back then. Let's go back." And maybe you've heard of that expression that it's easier to take you out of Egypt than to take Egypt out of you. Like, there's something in us that just goes back. Like, there's this draw to the old ways. And that happens whenever we face pressures or disruptions. It happens more broadly as Christians. In the States right now, you look at what's happening. Some of you are like scratching your heads at what's happening. When you look at what's happening in America, I'm not only scratching my head, I'm wringing my hands. And I'm like, what the heck is going on, right? Well, one of the things that's going on is what has happened in America many times over. Christians find themselves pressured for all kinds of reasons, cultural reasons, other reasons, and we begin to become insecure. And what do? Well, we begin to make alliances, political alliances. And, you know, Christians do that in different ways with different political parties, and then you get craziness. And I don't know what happens here in Northern Ireland. Maybe you have your own version of that, right? It happens in different ways, but it's the same underlying narrative. We go back to places that we feel like are going to bring back the good old days. You know, places of nostalgia that lend us toward, like, just opening ourselves to alliances that God is like, no, what are you doing? Stop it. And it's not just, of course, national and political sort of alliances, not just the big picture, but it's also in our personal lives that we do this, right? That we go back to old ways, old mindsets. Okay, I think about someone who's maybe facing a financial pressure in your life, and you're struggling because you're like, what am I going to do? And maybe you know someone in your family. Maybe you have that rich uncle in your family that you know maybe would help you out. Some of you are like, I would like to meet that rich uncle. That would be great. But maybe you know some. Maybe you have that person in your family, but you know, like, if I go to that person, my parent or this, whoever this is, like, it's going to entangle me in something that I know that the Lord doesn't want. But there's still this draw to go back. Or I think about those who are struggling with isolation, maybe loneliness. And maybe you had an old relationship, maybe an old romantic relationship. And you know that, like, you could, like, hit that number And you know that you could be in a relationship again. You could soothe yourself and your loneliness. But you also know, like, that's just not, that's gone. It's gone. It's meant to be in the past. But yet there's still this draw, or I think about parents, right? Like trying to parent in the crazy world that we live in, right? Where kids are just scroll, and all of the pressures, and you know, and we get so concerned about our kids, and it's like we feel like we just need to control and clamp down, and you know, and the more we do that, the worse it gets, and we stop trusting God for the formation of our children. And we do this in all kinds of ways, right? Like we go back. Well, that's one thing that's a sign that we're doing something that's not the Lord's plan. The other thing that we see here is that we move ahead very quickly. It's not just that we go back, but we panic and we move forward. And so the other thing that you see, and maybe a sort of a test for you, is whether your plans are birthed in prayer or they're just a reaction in panic. So you see this, if you scroll down to verse 15. It says, "This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. You said, 'No, we will flee on horses.' Therefore, you will flee. You said, 'We'll ride off on swift horses.' Therefore, your pursuers will be swift." I have a dear friend who, over the course of the last 10 years, has lost everything in this life that is dear to him. It started with a debilitating health issue that came into his life. And he lost his health. He was a very successful entrepreneur. He lost his business. He lost his marriage. He lost his home. And he's slowly been recovering and kind of, you know, he's independent now. He's able to, you know, with his disability, kind of navigate and make it through with great effort. And we get on a call every month. I love this guy. He's such a dear friend of mine. And I got on a call with him a couple of months ago, and I could tell that something was not right. I said, "What's going on?" And he said, "I invested almost everything I have in this investment, and I'm beginning to wonder if I've been scammed." And he told me the story, and as he described what happened, it was clear that he absolutely had been scammed. And all of his retirement savings were gone. Everything that he had saved from his business and all the things that he had left was completely gone. And it made me so angry. I was so furious as I heard him share this story. And I was so sad for him. I don't know if, like, when you hear, when you see, like, injustice in the world, if it just makes you angry. It makes me so angry. And that's a good thing. Like, if you become angry at what you see in the world, where it's like people being ripped off, the poor being taken advantage of and becoming poor, the sick becoming sick, it should make us so angry. And that is God's heart in you. You're like, it's not okay. It's not right. Well, my friend, unfortunately, is wired like me. Likes adventure. And he wanted to just kind of like fix a thing. And they, you know, these scammers had told him like, hey, if you just give us a little bit more, we'll give it all back. And he was thinking like, maybe I should do that. Maybe I should just, you know, this paycheck, just give it. And I'm like, listen, stop it. Stop panicking. Stop it. You have been scammed. You need to let your family know. You need to let other people in your life know so that people can walk alongside you. You have been ripped off. Stop trying to fix it. And over the course of a few days, he did. He opened up and he shared with others. And he was just broken. He was just weeping. He texted me, though, a few days later. And I love this message. He said, the season in front of me is going to be really difficult. He said, I'm poor, but I'm loved. I'm loved. You know, what Isaiah is calling us to is not like make our own plan, panic, you know, run. He gives us like a whole different model in these moments of disruption in our world and in our lives. So look at this again, verse 15. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. I want you to think about those things. Repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is letting go of our self-saving strategies. All of our plans that are trying to fix things when we're overwhelmed and anxious and afraid. It's coming to a deep realization. I cannot fix this. I need to stop. I need to stop trying to fix things without God. Repentance is more than sin. It's about surrender. It's about letting go. How about rest? Rest is not laziness or passivity. It's an active choosing of trust in God's strength rather than our strength. Active choosing to trust God. It's the willingness to say, I don't need to work harder to be okay. I trust that God is already at work for my good. How about quietness? It's not just about turning off the noise around us. It's about settling the chaos within us. It's a spiritual discipline that says, even though I don't have all the answers, I'm not going to panic. I will sit with God in the unknown. And trust. Trust isn't believing that everything is going to go your way. That's what we all want, of course. But trust is deeper than that. That even when things are not going your way, that God is still good, still wise, still with you in the midst of it. It's believing in his character of goodness, faithfulness, loving kindness. Well, when we can bring ourselves to do these things, it leads to this beautiful promise that we see here in verses 19 through 21. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he'll answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Any Mandalorian fans here? This is the way. Yes, that also. I don't think that came from the Bible, though. It's a good one, though. You know, friends, what we need more than a plan is his presence. That's what this is all about. More than like the 5-year mapping it out, the 3-month, oh, I got the plan, oh, I got the goals, here's where I'm going, here's what I'm going to do. God says, I want you to know my presence. I'm with you in the mess. When things are completely broken, when it's not working, when your instinct is to run, fix it, stop. I'm with you. I'm with you. And there's nothing that we want more ultimately than to know God is with us. He's with you in your mess right now. Full stop. That doesn't mean that he doesn't have a plan. It doesn't mean that he's like experimenting with your life. Sometimes it feels that way, right? Like God is just randomly throwing stuff at us. That's not how it works. Like God has a plan. It is good. He is working it in all kinds of ways and through all kinds of means that we could never know right now or understand. And I love this picture of God's presence because it's so different than the way that the Israelites had known God's presence before. Now think about the way that that the people of God had known his presence before. So, of course, they would go back to all kinds of experiences, but one of the main ones was the wilderness wanderings. They got delivered from Egypt, thrown into the wilderness, a place of nothing, a place where they didn't know where they were going, they didn't know what they were doing, constant disruption. And there was God in a cloud by day and a fire by night. Out front, visible, obvious, follow that. This is not that. You'll hear a voice from behind you saying, "This is the way." Not visible, not out front, not obvious. But what you have here is a beautiful picture of your shepherd who's walking right behind you, guiding you, nudging you. Speaking to you in ways that are different than maybe you've ever had to hear before. But it's him. It's him. And he is with you. What I want to do, I want to take just a couple of minutes of reflection, okay? So could you just maybe take a deep breath, settle in, and just if you want, I'm going to, you know, ask you to reflect on a few questions. You may want to write a couple of things down to take with you. You don't need to, but I wanted to reflect just in closing on a few questions. So we say, come Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Be our guide. Thank you that you're with us when the whole earth is shaking, when our lives don't make sense, when we're pressed, when we don't see. I want you to reflect on this question. Where are you experiencing disruption or uncertainty in your life right now? Where are you experiencing disruption or uncertainty right now? Sit with that quietly, name it honestly before God. In that place, what is your temptation? Is it to fix it? Or to flee? Or to rely on yourself or others? What is your temptation? Speak that to the Lord. What plan might God be asking you to lay down in order to trust Him? Is there something you're clinging to that gives false security? What plan is He asking you to lay down? What would it look like to listen for the whisper of His voice this week? Ask the Spirit to increase your faith, to be obedient to Him when He speaks, to trust Him. What would it look like for you to listen for the whisper of His voice this week? Lord, we present ourselves to you, and we thank you, God, that you are with us all the time. You never leave us. You never forsake us. And all of the press and all of the pain, you're faithful. Amen. Can we stand together if you're comfortably able? So what I want to do, what we do here in the Vineyard, many of you know this because you're part of the Vineyard, but we pray every week. We love to pray for each other. And I want to invite some of you. We come up front and we have a prayer team that would love to just pray for you. And I want to invite some of you to step out and step forward, because there's something that happens. You know, when the reason, one of the reasons we do that is because there's an exchange that happens when we go for prayer. You know, we're embodied creatures. Like when we move our feet, when we move our bodies to do something, it's like it literally is taking a step of faith. Like it's walking out faith. When you speak something out, it like your word has power. And when people, and that's giving something. And then when someone prays over you, it's like there's a receiving as well. It's a beautiful thing. It's such a beautiful thing, that the gift that God has given us to just pray for one, hold one another before God. And I really sense that, like, the Lord wants to seal some of this in your heart today, that you know, by embodying something, there's some place of disruption in your life right now where you've named something, you're like, yeah, I'm actually, yeah, like, there's a place. And I've been doing a thing here, and I've been getting punched in the face, and I've been doing a thing, and the Lord is, like, wanting me to, like, walk this out different. Like, I really feel like God is inviting me to do that. And by coming up here and saying that out loud, like, in the first service, someone said it out loud, and it was like, boom. Like, there's just power in that. And so I want to encourage you, first of all, the prayer ministry team come up, but I want to have some of you come just to put that into action, okay? Because God is saying, stop. Trust me. And I want you to put that into action. And so just, would you take a step of faith and come and just want to invite you now. Would you, some of you, be courageous and allow someone to come and just pray over you what God is at work on this morning, as we just did this little exercise. The other thing I sense the Lord wanting to do this morning is to bring some healing, physical healing. We also pray for healing. The Lord doesn't always heal when we pray, but we always pray for healing. And he sometimes does heal. And we have stories, on, I know in this congregation, of God's healing. And so if you have a physical ailment today, we would love to pray for you also.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.